comedy right now is in a tricky place. Anytime you talk with a comedian now, you hear how they're more and more aware of whether a joke might offend someone or anyone, really. Sometimes, as in the case of Amy Schumer, that leads them to reconsider old jokes or get rid of them entirely. Or as in the case of Jerry Seinfeld, it gets his back up and he gets angry about what he calls political correctness. Maria Bamford's comedy will make you uncomfortable in an entirely different way. She doesn't drop a lot of F-bombs. She doesn't go for race jokes, none of the usual hot buttons. But when she jokes about the pain of her own mental illness or a suicide attempt, you're just not sure you should be laughing, but you just can't help it. Bamford is very funny, a comedian's comedian, celebrated by no less a pro than Stephen Colbert.
I'm here with Maria Bamford. Maria, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on
the program. Oh, my gosh. You know, I hope I don't embarrass you when I say that you are my favorite comedian on planet Earth. I heard you years and years ago with Marc Maron on the old Air America radio, and I thought, who is this person with these extraordinary voices? This deeply troubled person with extraordinary voices.
Listen, Stephen, a lot of people don't think that I'm this confident woman inside.
No, I have those voices because this one is so less than what I had hoped for.
Maria Bamford is working on a show for Netflix called Lady Dynamite. And she talked recently with The New Yorker's David Hagland.
Now we're alone.
Kind of alone. There's some other people around, but I'm going to pretend they're not here. So I've seen you live a bunch of times now. In my experience, at least, the people who are your fans are intensely devoted. And maybe for some of the same reasons that not everybody gets it. Because, you know, so you talk a lot about depression and anxiety and difficult experiences in very specific and candid and vulnerable ways. And if you respond to that, then it really means a great deal to you.
Yeah, Well, let's just say I've heard my publicist just said that they asked me if I'd like to be on the cover of Bipolar magazine, and I said yes, I would.
I have to buy that issue. I didn't even know there was a Bipolar magazine.
Oh, it comes out quarterly. I get it.
Well, I will keep an eye out at least.
Yes.
You know, I think in terms of the way that you talk about things, you make yourself very vulnerable. I was rewatching the Special Special Special, which is a comedy special that you taped with just your parents as your audience. And I have to admit, the first time I watched it, I loved it. I always enjoy your comedy, but I kind of missed the hearing the laughter of a big crowd.
Yeah.
But when I rewatched it, so much of the pleasure of it was in these very quiet moments, and partly in the fact that you are talking to your parents and sometimes talking about them.
Yes.
And there's something so intense and intimate about that that is unlike any other, you know, comedy special I've ever seen.
I mean, part of the reason I did that is because I was out of laziness and sloth. I had just gone through a couple of hospitalizations and just felt so tired. I was just like, what can I do? This is what I can do. Like, I can just do stand-up to my loving parents, who my dad can turn his hearing aid down, and then he doesn't, you know, have to know what I'm saying.
Well, and there is a way in which, I mean, watching you have this great bit at the end of the special where you talk about Joy Whack-A-Mole, which is the game that you say people play when one person says something that they feel really good about and then other people try to knock it back down. And you're talking about how good your mother is at this game. And she seems to take it in really, you know, in good spirits, even though I imagine that's kind of difficult to hear.
Mom, Amy had her baby. Oh, that is great news, honey. I mean, it's not the greatest news for the 600,000 kids in foster care, but if she wants a fresh one, oh, jeez. Everybody wants one that looks like them. It's so selfish. Mom, I'm doing a show tonight. Sweet, I got a joke for you. A friend of mine, she's so funny. She said you could use it. She was in foster care. She had been airlifted out of the Sudan in the late 90s because she had been bearmed and belegged by the Janjaweed, the horseback militia. She'd love to do stand-up, but she can't. And it's really a hospice situation. It's just a matter of time. But the priest comes in, and
He asked her, would you like us to light a candle for you in the chapel? She says, sassy as you please, teletyping through her eyelids. Well, how many candles you got?
Because so many horrible things have happened to her and keep happening. Sweetie, have a good show tonight. What you do is so important.
I would hope, and we've talked about this a lot as a family, my mom's a therapist, and my dad is always interested in self-help stuff, so we talk about everything, and they know that a lot of the things that I put on them are actually me. You know, I am the best joy whack-a-moler in, I think, of our family, I have to say. But my mom does have a gift for being on an even keel. One classic thing that she said was, Sarah, Maria's disappeared, and I'm worried she's killed herself, and I have a hair appointment in town. Now, that is just wonderful. Yeah, you want to dredge the shallows for your beloved person's body, but there's going to be a funeral, so why cancel a beauty service, or I don't know.
I think of that as sort of a Midwestern thing too. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm from the Midwest, so I guess it definitely is. But everything is, I think as you get older, things kind of bleed together, where the ups and downs of life, you have to share them all at once sometimes.
Yeah. You know, you said before you described your comedy as wordy, and you move from voice to voice in a way that is not always signaled. How do you structure it?
Well, I mean, it's just like any, like a painting or something, you start and then you're working on a bunch of things at once. I was trying to work on something about how my friend Jackie is. I've always kind of looked down on her because she was so into video games and Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering cards. And, you know, I'd look at her while she was doing this finding jewels on the plane and say, okay, you go do that while I do something meaningful over here. And I started to look down at what I was usually doing on a plane. And I was usually filling out the blanks in a self-help manual. And I realized that that's my dorkdom, that I am, in fact, just like any person at Comic-Con, but I'm just talking about different things, you know, like I try to find, and this is very old school, but just finding three beats. So, I mean, my plan is for this one is to act as if in the manner of somebody who is at Comic-Con. So, like, how many 12-step programs are you in? Yeah. Yeah, me too. OADASLEA, Al-Anon, totally. Yeah, me too. Me too. Have you ever met Oprah? God, if I met Oprah, I would totally do. Like, just finding three beats to go in with that, and then hopefully that would be hilarious.
Yeah. You know, you have this Netflix show coming out fairly soon, and as I understand it, it's sort of maybe loosely based on your life. Is that accurate?
Yes, it's a wildly inaccurate portrayal of a mental breakdown and then coming back from it. And it's really fun and, may I say, magical.
And it sounds from your description like it's at least partly inspired by your own experience of hospitalization that you were talking about before from a few years ago.
Yes. Yeah, I'd always known I had depression and some issues with the OCD, and there was bipolar in my family. My mom has had it as well as my aunt. But at a certain point, I started talking very quickly and also having a lot of pressured ideas, ideas that had to be followed through on immediately. And my friend said, hey, remember when you told us to tell you if you're acting strange and you should probably go to a hospital? And so they drove me there. And I was also at the same time feeling extremely depressed in sort of an active way, which I had never felt before, which was making plans to for suicide. So, yeah, so I was able to find a medication regime that has changed my life. I have never felt this good. The past 5 years have been eye-opening. I did not know what people meant when they would say, "Oh, we're just gonna go skiing." It's just fun to go skiing. I always thought, "Oh, you're gonna exchange this uncomfortable set of variables for another equally painful set of uncomfortable variables." You call it skiing, but you may as well. You know, I didn't understand sometimes when people talked about having fun or hanging out.
Right. And did this also make it easier to work, or was that, is that something you had to adjust to?
I think I am definitely less prolific than I was, and I would say slower. I definitely sleep a lot more. I have a tremor. So I guess I don't really care, you know, if I'm less of a comedian because of the meds. I don't care because I'm alive. But it was interesting shooting the show. They were 15-hour days sometimes, and I had to ask for a 12-hour turnaround, which from what I understood is pretty unusual. But I said, gosh, I have to get sleep so that I don't go mental.
Right.
I'd be willing to let a television show go on behalf of my health, because I feel like I've had plenty of success in life. And yeah, it's super exciting to have that. But if I were to get sick again, then it's all for naught anyways. So.
Right, and you already get to do this for a living.
Yeah!
Maria Bamford talking with David Haglund. She's doing shows next month around California and in Phoenix. And her TV show is coming from Netflix a little later in the year.